I received a mail from a devotee who I don't personally know. He wrote, "Both my parents have been members of ISKCON for over 40 years. And so I was born and raised as a Hare Krishna devotee. I understand most of the books and philosophy, and I know a lot of history. The key difference between my generation and your generation is that we are concerned about what is the future and what is the next step. My parents' generation seem to be primarily concerned that what they experienced as Hare Krishna devotees will somehow live on. Our generation, those few of us who have somehow managed to stay in the movement despite everything, are not so concerned with simply carrying on with the burdens left to us from the past, like mules predestined by the mistakes of the past. We want to know what is the next step, what is the future, and what should we be doing to actually make a positive difference. It is at this point that most devotees will talk of Varnashram Dharma. I've heard such discussions over and over many times all my life. Unfortunately, I myself and many others have absolutely no confidence in the vision of the future of ISKCON, mainly due to these discussions being vague and impractical at best. The future given by current leaders seems to be primarily about making sure that members keep giving donations and devotees keep the smiling faces and kirtan performances and books and food going so that the machinery doesn't grind to a halt. But there are no real answers about the vision for society and the practical means to get there. Just keep the books and Harinams going and somehow magic will happen. Do we really still have faith in such blind hopes? What are really the practical steps to build and improve society, all things considered? Do we have a clear idea of a political structure and policies? Do we have clear steps to realize Varnashram Dharma in a meaningful way? Are we waiting for Yudhishthira to appear on a chariot along with Arjuna and for them to shoot arrows at the politicians? How are we meant to be taken seriously as providing real solutions to society's problems? What does Varnashram Dharma actually look like in the contemporary context? How do we proceed with the next steps? Or is the idea to just continue churning on and hope for a miracle? Most importantly, why should we even bother? Without a clear vision, are we even making an improvement to the world, or are we simply selling tickets to the afterlife? A few farms here and there with some desperate individuals going back in time to a romanticized past. It doesn't instill confidence. The typical solution is just chant Hare Krishna and don't take birth again. But that seems hollow and loveless. What is the real message to all the young people who want to do something with their lives and help the world? Your answer seems to be farms and books. I do genuinely appreciate that, but I don't think it's enough. There's more to come, but I'm not sure exactly what to do to get it started. After you and your generation check out from this world, we will still be here trying to get on and move forward. Do we continue just repeating the old strategies, or is there much more we need to consider?" And then the author of this text suggested that I could maybe give a talk on YouTube. So here we go. "Well, I feel your frustration. It would be hard not to feel it in such a feelingful letter. That here I am. I want to do something. We as a movement should be doing something, making a difference in the world. We're not. That's the feeling. Where do we go? Are we just carrying on in a stultified way?" Well, Max Weber would talk about this as the institutionalization of charisma, or Eric Fromm, or there's so many sociologists They talk about how religions start off with a charismatic phase, and then they move into an institutionalization phase. So applying this model, it would seem that ISKCON is very much in the institutionalization phase. What is the future, and what should we be doing to actually make a positive difference? Personally, as I have been asked this question, I am personally looking to the future. And of course, I'm not the only one by any means. The GBC for years had a strategic planning committee. But what exactly is the vision? There doesn't seem to be so much a vision as the Strategic Planning Committee founded a college for training up devotees to become GBC members, and talked about the responsibilities of being a GBC member. A lot of institutionalization has gone into seeing to the future of ISKCON. So it's not that the leaders are not thinking about the future, but I agree that there seems to be a lack of vision, especially if we consider that when Srila Prabhupada was here, and for some years after that, there was a lot of talk and a lot of excitement about how this movement is going to change the world and take over the world. And nowadays, the mood, as this devotee has pointed out, seems to be more like how the movement can survive in this world, how we'll somehow live on. And he writes, it is at this point that most devotees will talk of anashram dharma. I've heard such discussions over and over many times all my life. A more graphic way of putting it is, I'm sick to death of all these discussions, which go nowhere. Why these discussions are vague and impractical at best. The future given by current leaders seems to be primarily about making sure that members keep giving donations. Yeah, keeping the thing going on. Well, that is something that Srila Prabhupada is also very concerned about, is keeping the thing going on. He said, if you cannot expand, at least maintain. So our devotees are concerned with maintaining, and maintaining is important. Maintaining a religious institution, as much as we may hate that word, institution, maintaining it is important. It's a vehicle. A religious institution is a vehicle whereby persons can plug in to the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Well, in our case, Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's got to be more than just an institution. There has to be life, real spiritual life. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave the program of sadhana, rising early, kirtan, chanting rounds, following the principles, regularly studying and discussing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This gives life. This is spiritual life. And from life, life comes from life. So if the movement is not as lively as we might hope it to be, it could very well be that we haven't enough emphasized these principles which Srila Prabhupada again and again and again and again and again emphasized, that if we do this, if we follow this, then we will be enlivened and we'll want to spread and bring out Krishna consciousness. So we may think of what's the next thing we have to do. What's the next big step? But let's look and see if we're doing the basic things that Srila Prabhupada wanted, if we as a movement are sufficiently emphasizing the things that Srila Prabhupada emphasized, and that did give so much strength and life to the movement when Srila Prabhupada was personally present. We may say, well, the movement was so much full of life when Srila Prabhupada was personally present due to Srila Prabhupada's personal presence. But Srila Prabhupada himself didn't stress the importance of his personal presence as much as following his instructions. That is Vapu Seva and Vani Seva. And he emphasized that life comes from following this presence. He didn't want to establish himself as a charismatic figure by whose presence everything becomes full of life, and in his absence everything is doomed to failure. But rather he wanted to establish Krishna consciousness as a scientific process, scientific in the sense that if we follow the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, as given by the previous acharyas, then it is predictable. The result will be predictable, that we will become purified and we will be able to help purify others. Now, regarding some extra program, what else do we need to do? We're doing Harinam. We have a few farms here and there. Is that all? Is there something more we need to do? In this regard, I'm going to quote from Srila Prabhupada. Some of the many quotes. Srila Prabhupada said, book distribution and farms, these are our solid programs. They can change the whole world. The whole foundation of animal civilization can be destroyed. Animalistic civilization can be destroyed by book distribution, by giving the knowledge by which people can understand I'm simply living as an animal. We, our whole society, is animalistic, being based on simply eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and sensual enjoyment. We should rise to a higher platform. This knowledge we get from Prabhupada's books. You may say, well, I've read the books, I know the philosophy, I know all that. Yes, you know it, so believe it. This is the basis of the Krishna conscious movement. You're talking about Yudhishthira and Arjuna driving up and looking for some magic. This is the magic. This is the magic. Krishna consciousness means being plugged into Krishna. So giving that knowledge of the all-powerful person and how to live in Krishna consciousness, that is done by book distribution. And in the farms, we can demonstrate how to live in a manner that reifies the teachings in the books, that shows how we don't need to live in a unnecessarily complex manner. We can live simply, chant Hare Krishna. And this is something that people can come and see and plug into and become part of. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. If this book distribution is managed properly, pushed on with great enthusiasm and determination, and at the same time, if our men keep spiritually strong, then the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So there you go. You're looking for the big change. What comes next? These are the things. You don't think book distribution and varnashram and farms is enough? Well, this is what Srila Prabhupada says. But he opens this sentence with the word if. It has to be managed properly, pushed on with great enthusiasm and determination, and at the same time, if our men keep spiritually strong. So there may be something lacking, that we're doing the book distribution and the farms about the farms, Srila Prabhupada said, if these farms become successful, then the whole world will be enveloped by Krishna consciousness. So, keeping spiritually strong. Incidentally, I just got an email from a devotee from the West who had tried living in Mayapur for some time and had become disheartened and said, well, a lot of the devotees, they seem to be more interested in eating chocolate and just hanging out. Well, there may be. There may be quite a lot of devotees who are like that, but the very fact that they've come from the West to live in Mayapur suggests they are serious about Krishna consciousness. And that's another reason why we need Varnashram, because different people are at different stages and we need to engage people at different levels. When we say the whole world Krishna conscious, it's not that everyone's going to be Gaurkishore Das Babaji, and such a devotee is extremely rare. We're talking about engaging people in working in a manner that is not ugra karma, working according to their propensity and their mentality and their ability, cooperatively for the service of Krishna. And I may say, well, it's another of those vague talks. You can say like this, but Srila Prabhupada says, if these farms become successful, then the whole world will be enveloped by Krishna consciousness. You may say vague talks. Well, I'm glad someone's at least talking about Varnashram, because even if they talk about it in a vague way, because mostly we don't hear much about it. So if someone's even talking about it, that's a good step. The fact that we're not talking about it and we're not doing it is a severe lacking in our movement, seeing as Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on it. Srila Prabhupada said that people will join these farms in their millions. And if we had stuck to that formula, then in the West at least, our farms could have been developed by this time, and we would have good working models for people to see and to emulate. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the formula that Prabhupada gave, it's just that we're not doing it. Or we're doing it without the same level of commitment that Srila Prabhupada wanted. After all, Krishna consciousness, if we're going to push forward Krishna consciousness, it is, as has been pointed out, it's not just a matter of talking about it. Srila Prabhupada worked very, very hard. We hear about him being an enlivening, charismatic figure and a father figure, but he worked very, very hard, and he pushed his disciples to work very, very hard, and we can't expect this movement to really flourish and live up to its full potential unless devotees are prepared, or at least those who are taking leadership roles, they themselves set the example of working hard. That means being fully engaged in Krishna. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be workaholics in the sense that we're constantly in sleep deprivation. No, we should attend temple programs, chanting, read the books and all these things, but we should be productively engaged in Krishna's service. And you may say, well, that's vague talk, but then yeah, you can say that. There should be some vision, but here is the vision. What I'm saying is that the author of this text seems to have not much faith in the just going on with what Prabhupada gave. But I do have faith in that, but I'm just saying that we need to do more of the same thing. Instead of looking for new things to do, we need to fully apply ourselves to the things that Srila Prabhupada gave. These processes are very powerful. Just like, by way of analogy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bhajane madde shrishta navavidha bhakti, Krishna prem Krishna dite dhare mahashakti, tar madde sarva shrishta nama sankirtan niraparadhe nama loile pai premadon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that among all the different ways of serving Krishna, the nine processes of devotional services, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the best. These nine processes are the best. They have the potency to deliver Krishna and love of Krishna. And among them all, Harinam Sankirtan is the best of all if it is conducted with out offenses, then very quickly one can attain love of Krishna. So in the same way, the programs that Srila Prabhupada gave us are very powerful. We shouldn't think that because of our inability or unwillingness or whatever to fully implement them, that they don't have potency. They do have the potency, but we have to apply ourselves to them, and niraparadhe, we have to be without offenses. Now, here's another statement by Srila Prabhupada. Again, beginning with the word if, Srila Prabhupada says, if the preachers in our Krishna consciousness movement are sincere devotees of Krishna, Krishna will always be with them because he is very kind and favorable to all his devotees. Just as Arjuna and Krishna were victorious in the battle of Kurukshetra, this Krishna consciousness movement will surely emerge victorious if we but remain sincere devotees of the Lord and serve the Lord according to the advice of the predecessors, the six Goswamis and other devotees of the Lord. So there we go. The movement will emerge victorious, but we should discuss this point. If we remain sincere devotees of the Lord and serve according to the advice of the predecessors, the six Goswamis and other devotees. So these points should be discussed. It's not that we have to look around and find something new. Of course, there may be innovative ways of preaching, but our core are the, at least what Srila Prabhupada gave us for this present situation. The core is Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution and Srila Prabhupada's social project for changing the world. The main project is establishing farm communities to show idealized Varnashram society. There's much, much more also that Srila Prabhupada gave. There's Bhaktivedanta Institute for preaching to the class. Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is for preaching to the mass and Bhaktivedanta Institute is for preaching to the class, especially the scientific world, which is so much in the helm of atheism. And politicians, yes, Srila Prabhupada did give ideas about politics, how devotees should be involved in politics for the sake of benefiting the world. So yes, these things should be done, these things should be discussed. But the core programs are there, the farm Varnashram and the book distribution and Harinam. And Srila Prabhupada also writes, I'm just giving some samples. If the devotees continue to spread this movement dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. It is sure and certain that if you work very sincerely for Krishna to spread his message, the message of Bhagavad Gita, there cannot be any check. It is not possible. It cannot be checked by any material condition. You go on with your duties sincerely, and there will be no power to check your progress. So you can see here, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing sincerely, dedicating life and soul, following in the footsteps of the predecessors, and we should have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada and what he says, and go on with these programs. So if you want to know what is the next step, you study what Srila Prabhupada said. What are Srila Prabhupada's plans? I'm engaged in compiling a book of Srila Prabhupada's vision for ISKCON, and you want clear steps. But Srila Prabhupada didn't give clear steps, exactly the sense that we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. He had a vision, but how exactly that vision will unfold, that he didn't give clearly, because how are you going to give a clear vision of, we don't know how things will unfold, even how Srila Prabhupada started this movement in the Western world. It's clear from Srila Prabhupada's writings that he expected, when he went to the West, to move among the intellectual circles, and he thought, we can understand from his writings, early writings, he expected that thoughtful people in the Western world would appreciate this and accept this. As it happened, he ended up mostly with hippies, which were a class, which was a class of people that was something that was completely unexpected for Srila Prabhupada. He worked with what Krishna gave him, who Krishna sent to him. He tried to mold them. He had a vision exactly how it would unfold. That wasn't clear. In the beginning, he wanted to get his disciples married, seeing them living together, the hippies, their proclivity to live together as unmarried men and women, or boys and girls, as he called them. So he got them married, but then he saw that they weren't committed to marriage in the same way that was for him normal and natural. He thought they'd commit just on the basis of Krishna consciousness, but it wasn't working out. Then he started to emphasize more brahmachari life and sannyas. In the beginning, he was encouraging his disciples to distribute back to Godhead, but then gradually they started to distribute more and more big books, and he encouraged that, he pushed that. That was very much Srila Prabhupada's vision, that famous quote that Srila Prabhupada, print as many books in as many languages and distribute, and the whole world will automatically become Krishna conscious. Of course, automatically, it's not just that it happens by a click of the fingers. But the point is that by distributing so many books, that will create an auspicious atmosphere in the world. Srila Prabhupada talks about the members of the Krishna conscious movement should perform sankirtan yagyas all over the world, and that will create an auspicious atmosphere. But again, don't just expect things to happen overnight, and don't expect that there's an absolutely clear vision of where we're going, because we're talking about, if we're going to change the world with Krishna consciousness, which was definitely Srila Prabhupada's vision, and the frustration in this letter comes from, it seems that we're not doing that. We're just having the routinization of charisma. What about changing the world? Yeah, it can happen, but it's a group effort. And exactly how and what to institute at any point, we have to see the situation and make adjustments, keeping in mind Srila Prabhupada's overall vision. I agree with the point that we don't seem to have much vision of the future of this movement and how it can expand and make a real difference in people's lives and really help people who are direction or looking for direction. We don't seem to be so much geared up to that. We don't seem to talk about that so much, right, as we used to. That's my subjective perspective, that we used to talk a lot about the compassion for the conditioned souls, how they're suffering in this world. But it is going on. It's not that we're not preaching, and we're not trying to help the conditioned souls, but it's a fact that we should have more clear vision of at least what's our next step, step by step, chessboard. On the chessboard, let's go step by step and then see how things unfold. And you may say, well, this is vague talks. Well, okay, let's get together. If you're not confident in the leadership to give advice, then get together with your friends of your age and see what you can do. Us old fuddy-duddies, we're all going to be dead and gone soon. Most will go to the spiritual world, and I might be, if I'm so fortunate, I might be back among you as a junior member of this society quite soon. But if you're not content with the direction or lack of it, get yourselves together and see what you can do. You can make a difference. A difference isn't made simply by complaining about others' failings, but someone has to stand up and do something. Show the way. Show something better. Now, as far as, what's that? A few farms here and there with some desperate individuals going back in time to a romanticized past. Have you visited any of our farms? Desperate individuals? I don't think so. You visit and see how devotees, I'm talking specifically about farms in which I'm involved in overseeing the development of, not in a hands-on way by any means, but interacting with the devotees. I'm involved. These are not desperate individuals. These are very serious devotees who do have a vision of how they want to live and how they want to raise their children and how they want to serve in the building blocks of Srila Prabhupada's vision for a world in which simple living and high thinking is the norm. And not an exception. We do discuss a lot. Where are we going? What do we do next? We need to discuss, and we do discuss, and looking to the future, how our children will continue. And I'm very happy to say that at one of our farms recently, some of the devotees, the children, have married, and now they're still living at the farm, and they want to go on with that. The children who are raised in Krishna consciousness at the farm. So it's not just a few desperate individuals going back in time to a romanticized past. It is the present now, and it can work, and it does work, and you can go and see. And don't be so unnecessarily negative about it. You can talk about a romanticized past, but practically in the past, people did live very simply. And at least here in India, many people, they had simple living and high thinking. And we simply want to continue doing that as far as possible. You can call it romanticized if you like. But Srila Prabhupada himself spoke of such a society that how when Lord Ram was present, great saintly kings like Yudhishthira, people were living very happily in a Krishna conscious society, and it can and should be reproduced by the devotees at the present time. You can say a few here and there. Well, it's a few. We can increase. But it won't increase just by being negative about it. You have to do something. You yourself may not change the whole world, but it's a group of individuals with a vision and an ideal. They can and they will do it. And it is making a difference. At least some devotees are beginning to look at our farms and see that something along these lines can be done. It used to be, before we started these farms, that devotees used to say, you can't do that. No one will ever join. No one will ever stay. It can't work. We tried it. It doesn't work. No one will ever send their kids to our gurukuls. We don't hear anyone saying that anymore because the farms are going on. Not all our endeavors on the farms have worked out. Some of the attempted projects have flopped. Others are going on. You can't expect everything to be perfect. There is great opportunity for spreading Krishna consciousness in the world. Let's be part of the solution. You want to be part of the solution? Okay, great. But yeah, like you say, let's be realistic. Realistic means we have to plug into something that's happening. There is great hope for this movement. There's widespread realization in the Western world especially that society as it's going on now, nowadays, it's not delivering what it promises. The leaders are cheaters. They're misleading us. There's widespread distrust of secular leaders. Within our ISKCON in the Western world, there's also some level of distrust of our ISKCON leaders. But we just can't live on the negative platform all the time. We're going to have to try to do something. Like Srila Prabhupada, he lived through and experienced the tremendous negativity that was generated after the departure of his spiritual master from this world. He didn't get hung up and think that, well, it's all useless and there's no point, but he went and tried. He didn't know whether he was going to be successful or not. He had great hope and great faith that something could be done, but He several times said, I could have never have imagined that such a great thing would happen. But he went and tried. Our duty is to try. That's all. And not foolishly. We should follow the directions of the previous acharyas. There is great hope. There's a widespread realization that society is not delivering what it should deliver. The intelligent design movement in science, although it's figuratively thrown on the trash heap by orthodox scientists, they are making a point which scientifically will have to be faced by the scientific orthodoxy, either sooner or later. Scientific paradigms die out when the scientists who uphold them die out, according to Thomas Kuhn. Orthodox science is going to have to face up to the fact that the universe is finely tuned to an extent that is simply not possible, even scientifically speaking, simply by random interactions of chemicals. You may say, well, it could have happened, but the possibility, when you get scientific, this is quite a big discussion, we get scientific constants that are so precise, and if they weren't just like that, then things couldn't work. And when you get 24 scientific constants, which are all required for the universe to be as it is, and the possibility of even one of them being so very, very small, and then you multiply them all together, it comes to impossibility. So science increasingly points toward an intelligent background. Life comes from life. So where do we go with this? Do we go back to medieval Christianity, or do we go to the knowledge of Krishna consciousness? It's a great, great hope that Krishna consciousness is the PhD level, or the summum bonum of all religious understanding. So there is great hope. How to deliver it? Well, Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again, book distribution and farms, and Bhaktivedanta Institute, and making temples, and congregational preaching. There may be political initiatives. There are various programs. You might think of some other restaurants and prasadam distribution. There may be other programs which we can think of, but already Srila Prabhupada gave us so many programs, and we need to fulfill them. One other thing that I want to do before I leave this body, I got to get started on it. I'm working, my main focus is on writing this book about Srila Prabhupada's vision for the Krishna conscious movement. But something I got to get started on is the fact, which is increasingly hard to deny given the huge amount of anecdotal evidence, the fact of reincarnation. This is a massive new understanding for the Western world, at least, which undermines much of what goes on in the name of atheistic science, and even much of what goes on in the name of religion in the Western world. And this is something which the Krishna conscious movement has knowledge of. It's based on the understanding that we are eternal living beings. We are not the bodies. We go from one body to another. This movement has knowledge of this. It's also promoted by Buddhism, but in a very inadequate way. The idea in Buddhism is that there is reincarnation, but there's no soul who gets reincarnated, which requires intellectual gymnastics to try to explain. But the simple, straightforward explanation is that we are all spiritual living beings, and that we go from body to body to body. So there's something I want to get involved in and promote that our movement should be doing, that reincarnation is a fact. Let's hammer this home. There's a general feeling out there that yeah, but let's hammer it home. And what are the consequences of this? How does it work? What is the nature of our existence? If we're eternal living beings, what is our relationship with God? It all hinges on this fact that we're eternal spiritual living beings. Reincarnation is a fact. This should be pushed. So there are many things. You want to talk about the next step? Well, I see this along with book distribution and farms, promoting Varnashram society. We as a movement should or at least some members of the movement, should promote very strongly. Reincarnation is a fact. Everyone should accept it. And we know how and why it goes on and what are the implications. Okay, come and learn from us. So many things to do. Vision, yeah. As a movement, we seem to be floating along. It is time to get our vision together. It is a house in some ways divided against itself on so many issues. We've got a great thing to deliver to the author of this letter. You want to discuss with me? Personally, I could suggest some things to you if you're ready to point your life in a certain direction. You've got to get in some direction. You just can't float through. I mean, you can do, but obviously finding frustration there. What are you going to do to make a difference in delivering the message of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas to the world? Okay, let's discuss it. Let's see where you can fit in, but you have to be prepared for hard work, dedication. Don't think that you can just do a little kirtan here and there and the whole world's going to change. Don't expect that. You be a leader. You be the inspiration. How do you be a leader? You don't think I'm going to be a leader. You just plug yourself in, work hard, and if Krishna so desires, others will be inspired by that and look up to you. Much more could be said. I'm not going to say much more right now, except Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayani patyakrit vacha kakushatam etat ahambravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihayadurad gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayang vichari yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.